Giants fans, please welcome the voice of the Giants, Bob Papa, and two-time Super Bowl champion, David Teal.
Good evening, Giant fans, and welcome to the Giants' fourth annual town hall here at the Beacon Theater, presented by New York Presbyterian, the number one hospital in the New York area, and of course, the proud sponsor of the Legacy Club in MetLife Stadium. I'm Bob Popple, along with two-time Super Bowl champion David Teal. You guys ready for a little fun tonight? I can feel the energy, David, as these Giants fans are ready for an exciting 2018 season. There's a lot of positive energy right now.
Is everybody excited? Are we ready? Well, you guys should be very excited because this night is for the best fans in the NFL sitting right in this building, the New York Giants fans.
You know, this is a unique opportunity because you get an opportunity here tonight to ask questions of Giants co-owner John Mara. Head coach Pat Shurmur is going to join us. We also have the coordinators. You'll get a chance to ask questions to Mike Shula and James Betcher, the offensive and defensive coordinators. And then, David, we're going to have the entire draft class here tonight. So that should be a lot of fun. And then we got some veterans here, too, to answer some of your questions and share some stories. Like Eli is here. Eli's in the house.
We got new left tackle Nate Solder here tonight.
The humble one, Landon Collins, will be here this evening.
And last but not least, Alec Ogletree.
So tonight's your night, Giants fans. An opportunity to ask questions and kind of get you focused on the 2018 season. And as I said, a lot of positive energy coming into this year. And with that said, David, let's take a look at a little video of what this offseason has been like in the start of 2018.
It is my great pleasure to introduce the new general manager of the New York Giants, Dave Gettleman.
I'm going to do everything in my power to lead this organization back to where it belongs.
It's an honor and a privilege to be the head coach of the New York Giants. You've hired a guy that doesn't know what he would do if he wasn't doing this, and I really do feel like my role is to make everybody as good as they can be.
With the second pick in the 2018 NFL Draft, the New York Giants select Saquon Barkley, running back, Penn State.
You walk in this building, the first thing you see is four Lombardi trophies. And right then and there, it just shows you the expectation as this place and the standard. And as a football player, you got to love that.
It's the way you practice, the way you prepare, the way you think about the game and handle your business and get your sleep and eat right and do everything that you have to do to get yourself ready and the team ready.
I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also doing it for my teammates, my brothers, and just trying to get to that next level. At the end of the day, I know what I want, and I know what these boys want. I got to give my all for them because they're giving me their all.
It's each guy in the room that's putting in the work, and, you know, they have that mindset of you got to attack today and get better together. So, you know, I'm here now, glad to be here, and definitely looking forward to this season.
I'm really looking forward to my opportunity to help out this community, spend as much time as we can giving back. And on the football field, I'm going to try hard. I'm going to do the best I can with everything I've been given. It's all God-given ability that I just try to put forward.
For me, it feels like a sense of one. Anytime you get the strap on that jersey, it's your tradition, it's your pride.
We need to have a tough, gritty team that knows how to compete, that loves to play the game. We're going to do what we can to get better each day. And I think if we do that, we'll get to reestablish the winning tradition and put ourselves in a position to win championships.
Giants on three. One, two, three. Giants!
As always, we'd like to introduce our first guest this evening to talk about the 2018 season coming up and the state of the organization, the president and CEO of the New York Football Giants, Mr. John Mara.
Thank you very much. I got to tell you, when you go 3-13, you don't expect to get cheered when you walk out of the stadium. So thank you very much. I appreciate that.
John, this is the fourth year of the Giants Town Hall, an opportunity to meet with season ticket holders. Why is this so important to you and the Giants organization?
I just think that sometimes people get the impression that we take our season ticket holders for granted, and I think this is just an effort on our part to show you how much we do appreciate your support. I've said for many years, you know, I'm 63 years old now. I've been around this team all my life, been through the good years, the bad years, and there's no more loyal fan base in all of sports than the New York Giants fans.
You know, obviously, like you said, to be getting the cheers, even though going through a tough season at 3-13, but the one thing that you never lack is that enthusiasm day in and day out. What is it about your job that you absolutely love, being the head and the CEO of the New York Giants?
Well, I got to tell you, I didn't have a lot of enthusiasm going down the stretch last season. It was a pretty tough stretch. But, you know, there's the opportunity this year to start all over again. There's always the challenge of trying to win. It's so hard to win in this league. And, you know, we've been at the very top. We've been at the very bottom. We've been everywhere in between. It's a hell of a lot more fun being on the top, I'll tell you that right now. And I feel really good about the people that we have in place with Dave Gettleman, with Pat Shurmur, his staff. I think we had a really good draft. So, you know, I'm excited about this season. I really am. And I still haven't quite gotten the taste of last season out of my mouth yet. So I can't wait for that first game against Jacksonville. And I think we're going to have a team on the field that you can all be very proud of.
John, you mentioned General Manager Dave Gettleman, who was, you know, supposed to be here tonight, and the news broke today that he's got a little battle going on in his hands. Just talk about what was so important as far as bringing him in to this organization, back into the fold, and the fight that Dave has as he goes through this little bit of a struggle with his health.
Yeah, obviously, you know, I've known Dave for a long time. He was with us for a lot of years as our Director of Pro Personnel, so I knew what his philosophy was. In terms of building a team, and I knew what a great talent evaluator he was. I think he was just what we needed to kind of restore some pride into our locker room, into our building, to kind of rebuild the culture that I think had gone downhill the last few years. But, you know, he was diagnosed about a week or 10 days ago, and obviously was a shock to all of us. But, you know, he's such a tough guy, and he's so upbeat, and that's a pretty good combination. When you have to deal with what he has to deal with. And he said to me as early as this morning that, don't worry, I'm going to be back soon. You know, you're not going to get rid of me that easily. And I have a job to do, and I'm going to do it. And I believe him, and I think everybody in the building believes him.
Obviously, right now, going through the offseason and throughout the OTAs, you could see the different attitude and the competitiveness out of this 2018 team. What are the things that get you excited about seeing the way that Pat Shurmur, the new head coach, is directing this team as well?
I think, you know, there's just a different feeling in the building and on the practice field right now, something that I haven't seen for a few years. There's just enthusiasm, discipline, a lot of new faces, you know, between the draft picks and the free agents that we've signed. And Pat is very much in charge, and there's no doubt who's in charge when he's on the field. And it's just a different feeling and a different spirit, I think, than I've seen for the last few years. So, you know, we're feeling pretty good right now. But, again, we don't start playing real games until September. We'll see what happens. But I just think we're on the way back now. And, you know, it's been a tough stretch for us, but we feel good about where we are.
John, obviously you and Dave and the entire organization in the offseason when it came to Eli Manning, as far as him being the right man for the job to take this franchise to that next stage and put another trophy in that case. He's been around a long time, but he looks, and his attitude is almost like he's a kid again.
Yeah, I think that's a good comment, Bob. You know, one of the things I said to both Dave and Pat when I hired them was, I wanted them to do their own analysis and evaluation of Eli. I had my own opinion about him, but I wanted to hear what they said about him completely, you know, objectively. And they both said, man, this guy can still play. We can still win with Eli Manning. And that was obviously a view that I had, but I wanted it to come from them. And so that made me feel pretty good. And certainly Eli... you know what you're going to get from him. You know you're going to get incredible preparation, incredible pride. The guy has been such a tough individual for us. He has not missed a game due to injury in all those years due to injury. Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Sort of like when you went home for dinner that night.
That's right. That's right. It was worse when I went home for dinner that night. I'll tell you that right now. But we feel good about him. He's throwing the ball in practice as well as I've ever seen him throw it. And I think he's poised to have a great year.
Yeah, we have to start getting some fan questions in here.
Yeah, before we get to the ones that,
all right.
If any fans here want to ask a question, we have some people set up with microphones. But let's take some of the ones that Giants season ticket holders have sent in.
This first one is from Leon Batista. Other than wanting to win games, what are the two toughest challenges you face as an owner?
Well, I would say by far and away the toughest decision you ever have to make is picking the right head coach. I mean, you just never know until the guy is on the field and coaching your team, and sometimes it takes a few years to figure out whether the guy is the right guy or not. That is by far, you can take the best coordinators in the world, and making that next step up to be a head coach, you just never know for sure. I would say by far and away that is the most difficult decision that you have to make. And then I think evaluating the quarterback position is also tough. You see these guys come out of college, they have great college careers, and they're high draft picks, and then they don't quite make it at the NFL level. I would say those two decisions, for me, are by far and away the most difficult.
Another question from a season ticket holder, Mike Foster. If you can sit with five living or deceased Giants players or coaches to just sit and talk, who would that be and why?
Yeah, somebody said LT. Yeah, that'd be an interesting conversation for sure. And I have had those conversations with them, believe me. I think I would probably go back to the days of my childhood when we had guys, like Spider Lockhart and Emlyn Tennell and people like that, people that were heroes of mine as a kid. I think those are the guys that I would love to sit with. They're both deceased right now. And then even going back further, the guys that played in the 30s and 40s when it was a completely different sport, guys like Mel Hine and Tuffy Lehmans and people like that that played in my father's era. So I think I would gravitate more towards having conversations with them because I think it'd be fascinating to know what life was like back then playing in the NFL, the newly formed NFL. And it was a much different game back then, a much tougher game, I think. So I think that's where I would go.
They'd probably say, what the hell are you paying these guys all this money for?
I say that myself every once in a while.
Let's take a question from a fan here, down on the right.
Hi, I'm Alex. I just want to say a quick thank you. I was here last year, and you said you read all your letters. So I sent a letter, and I got a response, and I was the one that ended up in the newspaper. So I just want to say thank you.
Yeah, I remember you.
I just wrote about how much I love the team, so thank you, and thank you for the pride.
Well, I appreciate that. Thanks. I do try to respond to just about every letter. It's just, it's just refreshing to see that people actually do still write letters in this day and age.
Next question here on the right.
Good evening, Mr. Mara.
Good evening.
First, I'd like to say I love the direction the team has taken since January 1st. As a member of the NFL's Rules Competition Committee, I have a question. Now, we all know any questionable touchdown is an automatic review. Has there ever been brought up to a potential scoring play should be an automatic review? Say a receiver is called out of bounds. Now a team has to burn a challenge.
Yeah, that's brought up every year. We talk about that every year. Do we want to expand replay? And I think we don't want to get into a situation where you almost have this in college now where almost every play is reviewable. We think that with scoring plays and turnovers being automatic reviews, plus the coaches have two challenges, we think that's enough. We're trying to keep the game as close to 3 hours as possible. I don't want to see a 4-hour game out there, and I think you would see that if you made every play
No, that's what everybody, just scoring plays or potential scoring
plays. What is a potential scoring play, though? That you could define that in a lot of different ways. I think we're comfortable with where it is right now, but it is something that gets discussed at length every offseason.
Thank you.
John, just to follow up on that, I was talking to Steve Tasker, the former special teams standout of the Bills, who worked with the competition committee about changing the kickoff. How important is it to try to keep some version of the kickoff in the game, or is it not viable based on the injury rate?
We do not want to lose the kickoff as a play, although I think in college they're moving in that direction, quite frankly. So we're going to experiment this year with this new system where the members of the kicking team can't get a running start. Members of the return team, I think it's eight of them have to be within a 15-yard area. We're trying to cut down on the full-speed collisions to try to cut down on the number of head injuries, and we'll see how it works. It remains the most dangerous play in the game, and we're trying to reduce the number of injuries but still preserve the play.
Another question here to our left.
Hi, I'm Jake from New York City.
How are you doing, Jay?
Good. And my question to you is, what was going through your mind when the Giants were on the clock, and what made you pick Saquon Barkley?
Well, you know, we had talked about that a lot before the draft, and I think the consensus that really everybody in our room had was that he was the best player in the draft. So, my experience over the years is that if you take the highest graded player on your board, you know, you're usually going to make a good pick and you're not going to make mistakes. When you make mistakes is when you try to reach down a little bit too much because you need a certain position. We felt like he was the best player in the draft, and it ended up being not that difficult a decision.
So, John, just in wrapping up, obviously the 2018 season starts at home, at least for a change, as opposed to a Sunday night game in Dallas. That comes in week number two. What will it take to get a Sunday night home opener against the Cowboys, or would you prefer a Thursday night home opener?
Maybe we'll try for that next year, but it really doesn't matter to me. I was getting a little tired of going to Dallas on opening weekend, for sure. Yeah, but we've had some success down there too, so we've had some pretty good days in that stadium, and hopefully we can have some success this year. But I just want to say how much I appreciate not only all of you being here tonight, but the loyalty and the support that you've shown over the years. It makes coming to work every day a pleasure, and it really builds the challenge that we all feel to try to put a winning team back in the field, a team that you can be proud of. So thank you all very much. We appreciate that.
Ladies and gentlemen, John Mara. Thank you. You know, I don't know if they're getting a little soft. Nobody had an Odell question? Not one? Hey, John talked about, the positive energy and the leadership. And you know what it's like to play for a great coach, having played for Coach Coughlin. And I'd like you to introduce our next guest.
I'd like to introduce the new head coach of your New York Giants, Head Coach Pat Shurmur.
Coach? Yeah.
All right, Coach.
Quite a place, huh?
Yeah, I mean, this is a big time, right? New York City, the famed Beacon Theater, as a wonderful venue for Giants season ticket holders. Just talk about coming to this area and sort of settling in and starting to understand about the fabric of these great fans in this organization.
Well, you know, I knew coming to New York, all the years in Philadelphia, I always looked forward to coming. I quickly got that out of my system, right? Let's be honest and real. But no, when we would come to New York to play, I always looked forward to it because, you know, if you can win here, you can win anywhere. And it was really a challenge for us, and I always thought it was something extra special. So I told a funny story one time about how I was walking around a stadium before one of the games, and I ducked into a room, and I was sitting on a couch next to this older gentleman before the game. And we were watching the game, the 1 o'clock game, and so we were watching the game for a while, and then I got up to leave. and he patted me on the knee, and he said, good luck today, but not too much. And it was Wellington, and so which was my first Giants experience. So I think back to that.
You've been fortunate enough to be around a lot of great coaches. Who do you think has influenced you the most and have taught you the most about being a head coach?
Well, you know, early in my career, I was impressed by defensive coaches. Certainly my Uncle Fritz, who was a great defensive coordinator. My college coach, George Perlis, who won 4 Super Bowls with the Steelers. I most recently was with Mike Zimmer. Jim Johnson in Philadelphia took me under his wing. So I had a lot of guys on defense that impressed me as an offensive coach, how important it is to run the football, not just for your offense, but for your team, how important it is to protect the passer, because on the other side, and that's something that's really, it's a team thing. So we got to do what we can to run the football and protect the passer. And I was impressed by defensive coaches to begin with, then Andy Reid and Mike Holmgren and all the offensive guys that I interacted with, and then the going fast, the tempo stuff with Chip Kelly. So there's a lot of guys that I've been impressed by, and we just try to take the best of all of it and make it what is now the New York Football Giants.
In your mind's eye, what do you want a New York Football Giant to look like?
Well, you know, where we train, you know, it's we need to be a tough, gritty football team. And sitting next to an offensive lineman that did the best of the best, we have got to block better. We have got to tackle better. And we have got to do what we can to run the football and protect the passer. And I think then all good things will happen. I think when the Giants were the best and when they won their championships, it was because they were really good up front. And so you saw by what we've tried to do with the offensive line and the additions to some of the defensive line positions, we're going to try to do what we can to get it started up front.
What do you want the Giants' identity to be in 2018?
Well, we want to be a tough, physical, gritty football team, and I think that's where it starts. Then all that fancy stuff, all those receivers and running backs that we have can do their thing. And so, you know, what we're trying to do is we have a roster of 90 guys now, and there's only a couple criteria. Number one, you need to love football, right? We want guys that are passionate about playing football. You got to understand what it means to be a good teammate, which means you got to understand what it is to appreciate a relationship and be coachable, and then you got to go out every day and give effort. And so we have a roster of those 90 guys, and then at some point here, we're going to whittle it down to 53, and hopefully that's a very tough decision, because hopefully every guy that's wearing a blue helmet right now either makes our team or makes somebody else's, because they've competed at a very high level.
Let's take some questions from some of the Giant fans. We're going to go up to the mezzanine up on the right.
Hi. Jeff from Wayne, New Jersey.
All right, Jeff.
Let's go, Wayne. First off, Dave, did you get everything situated with your earpiece? I saw it was falling.
We're all
out.
Set now.
All right.
Thank you.
Just
man.
Making sure there.
This
just
guy's
going to
get struck by lightning. He's all wired up over here.
It's all right. We'll get through it. But, Pat, you were giving the team a little bit of shambles. You know, we had a rough last season. Now you're getting everything from Saquon, this great draft that we just had. We've done some changes in the offseason. We made some changes on our offensive line. How are we going to plan on executing this season with everything that we've done in the interim?
To your point, I think we've made some significant changes, and I think it was necessary. And I can see by the way that we're going through our training here in the spring that these guys are coming together. We just basically got to get the guys trained up, put a ball down, and let them go. And I think that's what we're trying to get done. And then we do have some really fine football players. We have a long way to go. We still got a training camp left. We still have our mandatory mini camp left, a couple more OTAs. I feel like we're on the right path. But this game, believe it or not, we are all the supporting cast. This game is about the players and the fans. And we're doing everything we can to get the players ready to roll.
Awesome. Great answer, and honored to be your first question of tonight. I'm really faithful for the season. Let's go, baby.
All right. Down here on the lower stage, right?
Hey, it's Scott, also from Wayne, New Jersey.
Scotty.
Hey, Coach, welcome to New York. Really excited to have you here. You know, you mentioned you're influenced by your uncle and defensive coaches, but when I hear you talk about that, you talk about running the football, protecting the passer. I've never heard you talk about your defensive philosophy, and are you going to be involved in that side of the ball at all, and what is your defensive philosophy?
Well, philosophically, let's just flip that around. I think what's important from a defensive perspective is control the run. You don't always totally stop it, but you need to control it so that the offense becomes one-dimensional. And then when they want to throw it, you got to pressure the quarterback. So it's being able to do the flip side of what we're trying to do on offense. And I feel really, I'm so thrilled. We hired James Betcher, who I've known. I hired him because all the years that I've been in the league as a coordinator and going against his defenses, it was a real bugger to try to score points. And sure. So really thrilled that he's here. We've hired a lot of great assistants on defense. I've watched them train. I am involved. But, you know, I really do believe with our coaches, you hire them, you inspire them, and you help them to be the best they can be, and then let them coach. And if you've ever had an opportunity, anybody in the room, to watch us practice, and hopefully at some point during training camp you will, you'll see that I have a really, really, I got a great group of teachers, and so I trust their work.
Great.
All right. Hey, so Scott has kept his streak going. When Bill Parcells was the head coach of the Giants, when I first started, like 88, 89, they kind of used to do this at a place called Manny's in Moonaki. And Scott has now asked a question for every head coach for the Giants going back
that
to Parcells. You got
that
Coach Shermer in
Thank
there.
Thank you, Bob.
Nicely done,
Thank
Scott.
You for the shout
well, it's
out,
interesting. I'm loosely connected to Bill. Bill Parcells and my uncle were great friends, and then through the years I've had a chance to interact with Bill, and then most recently working for Mike Zimmer, who worked for Bill, I kind of got partial conversations of what he would say to Mike, and so I feel in some ways that I know Bill a little bit, and I'm sort of proud of that.
Great.
So.
Good stuff, Scott.
Thank you.
And then when you go into the Legacy Club, presented by New York Presbyterian in the stadium, you can watch all those videos of Parcells yelling at Belichick. question here on the lower left.
Hi, I'm Kane, and I'm from New York City. And my question is, what are your expectations for OBJ this year?
OBJ. Well, we expect him to be one of the best receivers in the NFL. So I will say with OBJ, when I first got to town, he was one of the first calls I made, and we've developed a really professional relationship. We talk, even though, you know, he's been in and out this off season, and most of this has been really voluntary. We've communicated throughout, and the one thing I know about OBJ, and I can say this with a fresh set of eyes, this young man loves to play football, and he's passionate about football. And he wants to be a New York Giant. And so at some point here, he'll be back, and we'll get him on the field and get him going.
Thank you.
Mezzanine up on the left.
Hi, I'm Andy. I'm not from Wayne, New Jersey. I'm from about 10 blocks from here. My question is, given the limited amount of contact you can have in training camp, and given the tendency to play starters so little in the preseason games, how do you get the team ready for what's going to hit them on opening day and the pace and intensity of the games?
Well, you mentioned two big challenges, certainly. You know, for coaches, if you want to run 10 plays, 20 is better. So repetitions are important. But what we have to do is, within the rules, get our players that are going to play as many reps as possible. Dave will tell you there's a lot of times when you got to train without your pads on, with the right posture and the right body language, and be a good teammate so that you get the guy across from you better, so that when you do put the pads on, you're ready to go. So I intend to play our players in the preseason. I think it's important. And, you know, there's a plan in place where we get the guys that are going to make our team a chance to get the work they need, and then also the guys that are fighting to make the team the reps they need to be a Giant. So there's a plan in place, and within the rules that are allowed, we're going to do, I think we're going to do a good job with that.
Let's go down to the right here.
I'm Clayton from New Jersey. I want to know what you learned from your experience in Cleveland as a head coach that will help you today as a Giants head coach.
Well, everything Cleveland. I wish I knew then what I know now. You know, I think anytime you do something for the first time, and these are pretty big jobs to be a head coach in the NFL. Anything you do the first time, you know, you're sort of ready for it, but along the way, you know, there's obstacles and there's things when you sit back and reflect you wish you'd done better. But along the way, I will say this. I made a list of things that I needed to get done in the first 6 weeks, which I clicked them all off. And I also have a list of things I'll never do again. All right, so as we go along, you'll remind me of that, I'm sure, you know. But I think this time around, too, I feel much more comfortable with everything that this job requires. You know, it's interesting. We as coaches love to teach and coach, but a lot of my day is just answering questions and keeping the guys that work for the Giants going. And so I'm much more comfortable with that. The players. You know, this game is about the players. They can take a pretty crappy play call and make it look beautiful, right, if they believe in themselves. And so I spend much more time with the players, getting to know them more intimately. And so that's part of it. We'll see how it works.
Thank you very much. Good luck.
Final question for Coach Shermer. We'll go to the mezzanine to our right.
Hi, Greg from Poughkeepsie. So with the current CBA where you have to run around in underwear and not be able to hit anyone, with the new tackling rules, how are we going to go about teaching that so we don't look like a disaster in week one against Jacksonville?
Well, certainly the tackling for all teams really starts, you know, we'll train it in kind of drill setting, certainly. But then once we get into the preseason, we'll you know, the new tackling. I think what's the most important thing is you just can't tackle with your head or hit anybody in the head. And so, you know, we're aware of the rules. We're all for player safety. And we're really confident that with the new way that we're going to tackle, that they're going to do a good job. But we just got to try to get a lot of that done in those four preseason games.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Coach, one final message for the Giants fans before we let you go.
Well, I'm quickly becoming aware of the passion of the fan base. And what I said earlier is really true. And you're going to get a chance to meet our players. Our game is about the players, and it's about the fans. And so we're certainly appreciative of everything you do, and I assure you that we're doing everything behind the scenes to put a team on the field that you're going to be very proud of. So we're looking forward to getting things going against Jacksonville.
Ladies and gentlemen, the head coach of the New York Giants, Pat Shermer. Coach, thank you. Real deal, right? Kind of cuts to the chase. Doesn't, you know, speaking cliches kind of gives you the point, right? Let you know what's going on. As John Mara said earlier, I mean, just the temperament within the building and sort of the organization and sort of the sense of, not just pride, but sort of the sense of focus, David, is completely there with Coach Shermer.
Without a doubt. I think the one thing that you really love about Coach Shermer that reminds me a lot about Coach Coughlin, good, bad, and different, you know exactly where you stand as a player. And you could tell that this team in 2018 understands what the expectations are, understands what went wrong in 2017, and are going to be competitive, making sure that they make those changes in a positive way that we don't go through another one like that.
Here. So, philosophy, scheme, right? The Giants have an entire new coaching staff in 2018. So it is with great pleasure we welcome in the new defensive coordinator of the New York Football Giants, James Betcher, and the offensive coordinator, Mike Shula.
Coach, how are you?
Good.
That's
Coach, how are you?
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Excellent.
All right, guys, welcome to New York. Welcome to the Beacon Theater. Coach Betcher, I'll start with you because Coach Shermer had that question asked of him. And talk to a little bit because, listen, no matter how many yards Eli throws for or whatever the numbers look like, these fans whether it's Sam Huff or Harry Carson or Lawrence Taylor and Carl Banks and Pepper Johnson and so on and so forth, Jesse Armstead, Antonio Pierce, they crave defense. Talk a little bit about sort of your philosophy of what you want your defense to look like.
Well, you know, first, I think having a chance to come to work for the New York Football Giants as a defensive coach, you realize that. I mean, I remember growing up as a kid watching Lawrence Taylor and that group of defense run around, wreck things. And maybe that's an impression I have as a kid growing up, you know, is what defense is supposed to look like, you know. And I've been lucky at some of the places I've been around a bunch of phenomenal coaches, a bunch of outstanding men, and some really good players, and you learn from both along the way. The thing I can tell our fans, and I can tell you that you're going to see from our guys, you're going to see guys are going to play relentlessly. So they're going to be after the ball. We're going to swarm the football. We're going to play hard. We're going to play smart, fast, and physical in no particular order and no order of importance. All those are the three core ingredients to playing good defense in this league. And, you know, being a group of guys that when they go out and put it on the field, their tape will say something to every other opponent they're going to play each and every week. And, you know, we're really working hard to build that in our meeting room right now. And it's been a really good last 3-4 weeks here of our offseason program.
Coach Shula, obviously coming in, seeing all the type of weapons that you have on the offensive side of the ball, but I've also been in the huddle where each and every one of them said that they were open and that they should have gotten the ball on that play. How do you keep that balance in the offense and making sure that you keep everybody happy but run the type of offense that you want to run?
Yeah, well, it is a delicate balance. I think the number one thing is make first downs and stay on the field. And, you know, it starts with the quarterback position. And, you know, we're going to teach our quarterbacks, you know, make good decisions, high percentage things, things that are going to keep the ball moving forward. And we feel like, as you said, with the talent that we have, and it's going to be important to spread the ball around so we're not predictable, not just with necessarily personnel, but scheme, make defenses have to cover the whole field, have to where they can't key in on one or two guys. But the main thing is just be efficient, stay on the field, and we feel like if we do that, we're going to be good enough to get the ball in the end zone and do some damage against some defenses.
Coach, I mean, obviously, I know what the obvious answer is. Outside of your father, who happens to be the winningest coach in the history of the sport, who are some of the other coaches that you learned from and who have been great influences on you?
Well, I've been really lucky just to, you know, growing up in the family I grew up in and having my parents and raise us the way they did and having my father as a coach and just all the things as a coach's kid that you get to experience. And I was lucky to get into the NFL as a coach very early. I wasn't good enough to play very long. I played college ball. But my college coach ended up leaving and going to the NFL. He ended up drafting me in the 12th round. 12B, by the way. It wasn't 12A. It was the second pick in the 12th round. But anyways, he knew that I wanted to be involved in football beyond playing. And he asked me after my first year on the team if I wanted to retire. And and so I looked at him. I said, Coach, I really like this deal. I'd like to continue to try to play. And at the time, Vinny Testaverde was the number one pick in the draft, drafted by Tampa Bay, and I was picked a few hours later. So I said, well, I'd really like to try to play. And he said, Mike, he said, you're the third quarterback on our team, and we're only keeping two. He said, so you do the math. It took me about a week to do the math, but I came back in the spring later on and decided I wanted to coach. His name was Ray Perkins, as you guys remember him from the Giants. And but he was probably my first influence outside of my father and my brother. From there, I went went back to my dad's back with the Dolphins. From there, I went to Chicago with Dave Wanstead and learned a lot about. Coaching. I coached the tight ends there, learned a lot about, you know, just the whole, not just the quarterback position, but the whole run game, how it all tied in from some of the coaches there. Ron Turner was the offensive coordinator. From there, I went to Tampa Bay with Tony Dungy,
and again was lucky enough to start out as a coordinator there and help take our football team to the NFC Championship with a rookie quarterback. So I've been blessed. Dave Wanstead, like I said, Chan Gailey, offensive coordinator for the Dolphins when I went back there. Dirk Cutter, who's the head coach at Tampa Bay now, was the offensive coordinator at Jacksonville when we were together. So I've been lucky enough to learn from these coaches, not just about football and philosophy, but just how to handle the life of football and being a dad and being a husband. And I've been lucky to be around some quality people. And hopefully, I think I'm a pretty good learner, and I've been able to learn from some of that. And hopefully, I can pass that on to the guys I'm around now.
Coach Betcher, obviously, you talked about having that relentless defense and now switching from a 4-3 to a 3-4. What do you think the benefits are those of playing a 3-4 in today's football?
I think, you know, one down we can look like a 4-3 team. The next down we can look like a 3-4 team. The multiplicity of the defense, the ability to create matchups, as you know, I like to pressure a little bit. So the ability to bring pressure from different angles and try to get linebackers, try to get DBs, try to get outside linebackers on running backs and protections. I think those are some of the core things that I love about being a 3-4 team. But at the end of the day, we're going to be what we need to be each and every week. You know, and I think that's what that construction, so to speak, from a personnel standpoint of a defense, I think that's really where it helps you. Because each and every week you're going to defend a two-back run team, a spread run team the next week, a team that's going to be both within the same game, and the ability to morph within games or from week to week, I think that's a really important part about how the league is now. As we all know, the league is so horizontal now. Formations get wide. They get big people and they spread them out. They get little people and they bring them in tight in terms of offensive personnel. And this allows us to have some multiplicity in some of the things we do.
Let's take some questions from some of the fans here at the Beacon Theater. We'll start to our left here.
Hi, my name is Bodie Shuffler from New York City. And have you noticed any change in the players since you guys have come in, like changing the offensive coordinator, defense coordinator, and head coach? So just have you noticed any changes with the players' attitudes? Or
I have. I think there's a great look in these guys' eyes. I think there's a business-like look. I think there's a look of having to feel like they've got something to prove. I think it was for the guys that were new here. I think I could speak for Betch. Just when we first got in, you noticed it right away. And they want to move forward, and that's what we're all about. I think across the board in all three areas of offense, defense, and special teams. And the way they're working now, just like Coach talked about earlier, we continue to do that. Now, we're not perfect right now, but we don't need to be perfect right now. We just need to continue to get better, compete every day, earn the right to be called an offense, and in my opinion, a football team, and get ourselves ready for the opener.
Let's go up to the mezzanine on the right.
Question for Mr. Betcher. My name is Perry from New York City. So corner is so important, and a lot of people thought we might take a corner in the draft. But instead, we got some guys as undrafted free agents who could have been taken in the draft. They were ranked pretty high. I'm thinking of Grant Haley and Aaron Davis. Do you think that those guys are going to make a significant contribution to the team this year?
You know, I think right now what's great about the whole secondary, to be honest with you, is there's a ton of competition going on. And I think both of those guys, both Grant and Aaron, both have certainly have chances to make the 53 roster. And both of those two guys are working extremely hard right now, both learning the system, improving their craft, and just going out and playing. I think a lot of that really, who's going to be in the 53, and I think Coach hit on a little bit, a lot of that is done when we get to training camp, when we get to put pads on, when we get some preseason games. And you get to see some guys in live action where things move and they happen fast and they have to react. I think some of that will happen then, but I love the competition that's going on in the back end right now. I think that's both at some of the safety positions, and I think that's both on the outside with who's going to be the third, fourth corner, who's going to be the guy that plays in the nickel, who's going to be the free, the next safety in the game. I love using DBs on the field. I think Being able to put extra defensive backs on the field really builds versatility, whether that's a third down or whether that's, you know, a second passing down, or maybe it's in the red zone to have some packages for some of our other DBs. So I'm excited to get to training camp and see how some of that unfolds. It's a great question.
One final question for the coordinators. Stage left here.
Hi, my name is Jack from New York City. And how are you going to use Saquon Barkley?
Hopefully a lot. As you can imagine, we're very excited to have Saquon here for a lot of reasons. You know, his productivity in college speaks for itself. His character has been documented. We know that he's going to bring that work ethic, that character, the ability to score touchdowns here to New York. And I think that his versatility as well. I mean, he can run the ball. As you'll see as he comes out, he's very physical. He can catch the ball. He's not going to be a guy that you're just going to put back there in the I formation and just let him run the ball. Though we will do that. We'll be able to move him around a little bit. And we're looking forward to doing a lot of things. And I think that he's really going to help us help our offense and help other players on our offense. And in turn, they're going to help him be a better player as well.
Thank you very much. Guys, we appreciate a couple minutes. Welcome to New York. And as you can see, they do it in a pretty big way here. But how about a round of applause for James Betcher and Mike Shula? All right, so we got Saquon question. So let's meet the 2018 Giants draft class. David, we got to look at them in action, but they're here this evening here at the Beacon to answer your questions. I'll start.
Okay.
Guess who we're bringing out first? The Giants' first-round draft pick, Saquon Barkley.
Second-round draft pick out of UTEP, Will Hernandez.
I know you all love that defense. It's taken in the third round out of the University of Georgia, Lorenzo Carter.
Man. Part of that big NC State D-line, let's welcome B.J. Hill.
Hey, how are you? Selected in the fourth round from Richmond, quarterback Kyle Laletta.
Last but not least, out of Miami, he's not wearing the turnover chain. Let's bring in R.J. Humphreys.
So, how are you?
All
right, fellas, so we'll just go right down the line. What's it like being in an NFL locker room after all this run-up to the draft? And all the preparation and all the ESPN and NFL Network, this, that, and the other thing. Now you're finally here. What's it been like for each of you?
Yeah, it's been amazing. You know, it's everything you dreamed of. You worked so hard since you were a little kid. I'm pretty sure we all started playing football around the age of 8, 9 or whatever. And you're finally here. You put in so much work. And obviously, like you said, the recruiting process for the draft and the combine and to actually get in the locker room and to be a New York Giant. You know, New York Giants is the best franchise in the NFL.
We got McIntosh, Carter, and Hill all sitting together. What is this, the offense on one side, the defense on the other? What are we sitting in the team meeting room? You know, what would you guys say was the biggest eye-opener or experience that you've had so far with a veteran right now on the team?
For me personally, just learning from the guys. Just going out to practice each day. Just picking up, even if it's a little small thing with foot placement, just learning where to put your hands and put your eyes. It's just everybody's been so welcoming, just trying to help me be a better player, become more of an NFL player, and, I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah, for me it was, you know, for when I first came on my visit, they took me into the cafeteria. Of course they took me into the cafeteria right away, right? And I saw Eli Manning in there, he was eating. And I was just like, wow, like that's Eli Manning. and then I thought to myself, I'm like, whoa, you know what? You might be blocking for him shortly. And so that was the biggest eye opener for me. And then of course having Nate Solder right beside me right now, learning so much from him from the first day.
How about you, BJ?
It's just amazing to be here, especially learning from the vets. Like Snacks, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL. Just coming to work with him every day and learning from him is awesome.
Kyle, obviously, you know, you get to sit in the quarterback room with a guy that's been there, done that, you know, two-time Super Bowl MVP. What's it been like working with Eli?
It's been great. Eli's an awesome guy. He's a genuinely, you know, down-to-earth person. And I think he helped me since day one. You know, he just welcomed me to the team, and he's just helped me along. And it's great just to kind of observe. You know, you don't really have to ask him questions. You just kind of sit and watch and just listen to him talk and just how he handles himself. But he's a great guy to learn from, and I can't wait to, you know, keep picking up as many things as I can from him.
What about you, RJ?
For me, you know, obviously I haven't been able to participate so far, but being in the meeting rooms with these guys, it's a lot different than college. But they all good people. They know what they're talking about, and just picking up different things from them. But like BJ said, Snacks, he's a real deal. But yeah, that's all I picked up.
Hey, what was it like going to Yankee Stadium? You guys enjoy that?
I think I was a little more nervous.
Growing up, players that you would like to emulate as an NFL player?
Yeah, mine's obviously, I wasn't able to watch this guy play. But growing up, people say, when I was a little kid, I used to like run to the left, run to the right, and he'd just be like, oh, you run like Barry Sanders. And I would like ask my dad, I'm like, who's Barry Sanders? And then I was able to watch YouTube videos and watch highlight videos and videos of Barry Sanders and just the way that he carried himself as a person on the field and off the field. Is the type of person I want to try to be and the type of player I would like to be.
Holy crap, did he just make you feel old? I thought he was going to say, like, you know, Walter Payton or something. He threw Barry Sanders at us having a YouTube.
So when I was in high school, you know, I was very new to the game. I started my freshman year of high school ever playing football, ever watching it, even learning the sport of what it is within itself. And so my coaching staff was huge Pittsburgh fans. One of my O-line coach actually was straight from Pittsburgh. And so he mentioned them. He brought a lot of their O-linemen up all the time. He talked about them all the time. So, you know, naturally I got sucked into the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. And a guy that I really liked from there, he's a little old school, but it was Alan Faneca.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's he guys?
So for me, DeMarcus Ware growing up, I mean, just watching him come off the edge.
Cowboy.
But then.
But what? Let me tell you something. One of the nicest guys you'd ever meet. If he was a Giant, you'd love him.
Exactly. But. But other players, just like Michael Strahan, OC.
The quick study.
But yeah, just OC, just players that bring that juice off the edge. I just like watching them.
For me, I watch a lot of players. I don't have my favorite. I watch a lot of film of different players, got a lot of different techniques and how they rush, how they stop the run and stuff like that. So I really don't have a favorite or anything like that.
For me, is J.J. Watt. Yeah, the way he plays is different, man. He has a high motor. He's a great player, and that's who I wanted to model my game after.
How about you, Kyle?
For me, growing up, it was always Peyton Manning. I've always was a huge Peyton fan. I'm not just saying that, I promise. Believe me. But, no, I think just the way, you watch the way he works, and I think, you know, one of the most important attributes of playing quarterback is being smart and understanding where to go with the ball. Nobody was better than Peyton with that. So, and then just watching, you know, his personality is kind of, infectious, and then watching the few videos I've seen of him and Eli, they're pretty funny. Some of those home videos, and but just comes from a good family, and it's kind of surreal now that I'm here and being able to learn from a guy that comes from that lineage, and Eli's obviously proven himself. So,
let's take some questions from Giants fans here, bottom right.
Hi, I'm Thomas Carr from Greenwich, Connecticut. I got a question for Saquon Barkley. Transitioning from Penn State to the New York Football Giants, what has the transitioning been? Have you gotten more reps out of the backfield? Have they put you at different positions you're maybe not used to?
No, I would say that I got to give a lot of credit to my coaches in college of preparing me for the NFL and being able to learn to try to become a versatile back and to be able to play out slot, play out wide, play out the backfield, do whatever it takes to help the team win. And that's helped me so far in OTAs. Obviously, I have a lot more to learn and a lot of improvement to grow. But I think so far I've been picking up the offense pretty good, and I've been very comfortable where Coach has put me.
Thank you very much.
Let's go bottom left here.
Hey, guys. I'm Corey Jason from Edison, New Jersey. And my question's for Kyle Aletta. What are some of the things you think you need to work on as a quarterback to possibly compete for the next franchise quarterback for the Giants?
That's a good question, Corey. there's a lot. I don't think, people say, is there one thing you can work on? And I'm a believer in, obviously you have your strengths and your weaknesses, but I think, even building upon your strengths and making them even, better, like accuracy and timing. I think the key in the NFL, and I just kind of mentioned it, was you have to be smart. You have to understand defenses, and everything at this level is just a little bit faster and things happen quicker. But like protections, that's been one learning curve for me. The NFL protections are, a little bit more in depth, a little more complex. So just kind of, understanding the concepts and the defenses and the different blitzes that they can show and understanding, hey, if they run this coverage, this is where I'm going to go with the ball, or this is what I'm going to be reading. But it's a work in progress, but that's the biggest thing is just knowing where to go with the football for now.
Let's go down here on the right. Thank you for the question.
I'm Matt from Long Island, New York. My question's for Will. Shout out Long Island. Going into the draft, you had a lot of buzz that you were pretty one of the underrated linemen going into the draft. How does that motivate you going into practice just to be a better player and stepping up as protecting one of the greatest quarterbacks and elite quarterbacks in the league?
Well, first of all, I'm very thankful with Giants for selecting me, and even though I was an underrated guard coming in.
I didn't mean any disrespect by that.
No.
Good follow-up.
You're right, you're right.
Very nice.
Yeah. No, but, obviously I feel an incredible amount of, that I owe him a lot. So the only way I know how to repay them is by giving them all I have on the field. That starts with getting used to things that I haven't been doing in college or things that I'm not used to doing, and doing them to the best of my ability. Coming out of college, I was labeled a mauler, because, you know, our offense, we ran a lot of gap scheme. And, you know, the only thing I could tell you is if we did more inside-outside zone, they would have been saying that I was the best inside zone guard and not just a model.
Up in the mezzanine, our next question. Mezzanine, right?
I'm Chris from Long Island, and I wondered what your guys' favorite teams were growing up.
Should I take this?
No, wait a second. No, right. Guys, this is okay. Because you haven't played yet a game for the Giants, so you have a one town hall amnesty. You can say whoever you want. Cowboys.
My favorite team growing up was the New York Jets. So.
Hey. That's not fair. We said they could be honest. And he went from rooting for the JV to the varsity now. He went from the JV Jets, now he's on the varsity. Will?
My favorite team starting high school was, and I blame my high school offensive line coach for this. It was Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay. Come on, Renzo, you can say it.
All right, so, y'all got the best of us, but, like, when growing up, I was a Patriots fan, so.
Wait a second, hold on.
We got no hard feelings.
Look,
two of them.
He's got two rings on right
We're
now.
Good.
That beat the Patriots.
We're good.
Okay. 18-1, remember that? Come on, you can say it.
All right, just forgive me, okay? Just forgive me. I grew up, you know what?
You can say
I grew up a Giants fan. That's all I'm going to say.
Me too.
Oh.
You got two more?
Come on, Kyle. Go ahead.
I was a Dallas Cowboys fan. I grew up.
Listen, this is the one time they can admit it, Kyle. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, grew up outside of Philadelphia. But hey, I'll say this. NFC East, the Cowboys were the most hated team in the NFC East by far. That's all I'll say.
That's pretty good.
That's good.
Well, you were a Bears fan.
I was a Chicago's Bears fan until April 26th? 2003, fifth round, 160.
There you go.
There you are.
Ladies and gentlemen, the 2018 New York Football Giants draft. Guys, thank you.
Dude,
nice
my best friend's RJ Humphries.
Good job. Good job.
Dude, my bad, man. I didn't even realize that. That's my best friend. It's RJ Humphries. I'm like, RJ Humphries. I'm like, shit, that's my best friend, man.
Come on, they were honest, right? For the most part. For the most part, they were honest.
We're not
honest.
Done yet.
No, we're not done yet, but they were honest for the most part.
Absolutely.
They tried, you know?
Absolutely.
They're a little nervous. They're intimidated.
Well, if they think that's the worst that they're going to get in New York City, that's all right.
Yeah. If they play well,
yeah.
They won't have to worry about it.
Exactly.
All right, so to wrap things up, now we're going to get the veterans' experience. So, our first guest is a two-time Super Bowl MVP. Ladies and gentlemen, Eli Manning.
What's up, brother?
Next up, number 21, Landon Collins.
So, I know you guys have been craving that linebacker play. So the Giants went out this offseason, and they signed number 52, Alec Ogletree.
And last but not least, the new blind side of the New York Giants, Nate Solder.
Yeah. Huh? Boss. Yeah, let's tell you what I said. I like something.
All right, you take the first one for Eli. Go ahead.
I mean, where do we start?
Wherever you want.
You guys have a little history.
You know, obviously, you know, seeing the way that you came into this offseason, obviously you're in great shape. You're motivated. Just talk about your attitude. A lot was said and a lot of things were taken from the 2017 season to give you a lot of motivation going into this year.
Well, obviously, Coach Shermer said it best. I have the best body of a 37-year-old he's ever seen. Obviously, you go through, and you play long enough, you're gonna have good seasons, bad seasons. Going through a rough season, it definitely motivates you to come back and prove the doubters and get back on the right page. And the good thing about the NFL and football. It's good and bad. You can go from being really good to really bad, and you can go from bad to really good very quickly in this game. And so just motivated to get back with my teammates, get to work, make sure I'm doing everything I can do to get healthy, stay healthy, and keep my arm strength going and get these young guys up and coming and get them on the same page, learn this new offense with Coach Shermer, which has been a lot of fun, having him in meetings, learning from him. It makes sense to me. I'm picking things up. I can visualize it very quickly and just it's been fun getting to work with these guys every day, competing getting some vets in here like Alec, from Nate. These guys have been around winning teams and they know how to practice and they know how to prepare. And those things are contagious. Those things make a difference when you get young guys around here and other players landing the way he practices. You want those guys around there. It makes everybody better.
Landon, obviously, new scheme with Coach Betcher. Just talk a little bit about some of the things that you've learned about it and what you like about it.
I like that we blitz almost five people every time. I know Eli doesn't like it because he can't pick up the blocking scheme, but it's awesome.
Shots fired early,
Wasted no time.
But no, it's awesome. It's a great scheme. For me, honestly, it's like, for me, it's coming back from Alabama. It's like kind of second nature. It's the same kind of scheme that I ran back in the day. So just coming off the edge, blitzing, taking shots, it's awesome, yeah.
Alec, you come here to New York after playing for the Rams. Sort of your impressions of being a New York Giant and obviously the tradition that exists here. We talked about it earlier, from Sam Huff in the 50s to Harry Carson, who you'll see around the building, and I'm sure he'll say a couple things every now and then because Harry doesn't hold back, to Lawrence Taylor, to Antonio Pierce and Jesse Armstead's in the building. Just talk a little bit about that tradition and being a part of it.
Definitely, man. I'm thrilled to be here. I've been in the league a little while, so, I've seen the Giants from afar and always had a lot of respect for the organization. And like you said, the tradition of linebacker here is top-notch, the best in the league, best throughout the league, So for me to get opportunity to come be a part of that, and I definitely look forward to the opportunity, getting to play with these guys. And, I got a lot of respect for each man that's sitting up here today. And it's exciting for me for sure. Like you said, this is my first time having a real live fan base that's die hard, And so I told Coach, I said, I'm really looking forward to that part of, I haven't had that feeling since I was at Georgia. And so, to get that ego right there.
Roll Tide.
So I'm excited about it for sure.
Nate had a great career with the New England Patriots, able to win two Super Bowls, 98 games played. But you were able to go through some postseasons, win some playoff games, win Super Bowls, but have some defeats. How are you going to try to use that leadership, not only in the Giants' offensive line room, but for the offense and team?
Well, we won't talk about the things that we did in the past, right? I think the biggest thing is it doesn't matter what happened last year. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what any of those situations. What matters is what we do going forward. So it's going to be a big emphasis. Every moment, as critical as it can be, every single snap, being the best that you can be every time. And that's something I take from where I've been before And I think it just carries forward wherever you are if you want to be on a good organization.
Eli, offensively, obviously you got Saquon, who they drafted, Will, who they drafted, bringing Nate in. You got Ingram, you got Beckham, you got Shep, but the offensive line a little bit reconfigured. Just explain to the fans sort of the process of trying to bring that all together with a new system as well.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, obviously that's what this time of year where we're going through these OTAs is so important and critical, especially with the offensive line going against a team and a defense, like Landon said, that's blitzing a lot. You know, that's great for us because we're making calls, we're making adjustments, picking up protections on the run, you know, quickly changing protections to get it to a slide to try to pick up overloads. And so it's great communication, you know, between me and the centers, offensive line. You get Will in there as a rookie, but you have a lot of, you know, you have some new faces, some new bodies in there. So that communication is so helpful. And I think it's going to prepare for us going down the line when you play other teams. We've, you know, we're going to have a lot of work picking up these blitzes. And obviously, you know, with Evan and Sterling, we have a lot of reps together, you know, running certain routes. And in the NFL, you can have different concepts. There's only so many kind of routes you can run. And so Evan and Sterling and I, we already have a great connection right there. Odell, you know, still coming back from his injury. He'll be back, you know, running routes soon. It won't take us long to get on the same page, you know, after 4 years together. So we have a lot of weapons. Saquon's learning quickly, catching the ball out of the backfield. And you know, I think like Coach Shermer said, we got to, you know, learn to be kind of that gritty offense, be able to run the ball and be tough. And I think we've kind of made some adjustments and got some guys, added some key players that are give us that that possibility of doing that. And that's how you can kind of wear down some defenses and win some games in the fourth quarter when you start running the ball, and then that'll help out our play action and all those things.
Take some questions from some of the fans here. Young gentleman over here on our left.
My name is John from New Jersey, and my question is for Landon Collins. Which player inspired you to become a player in football instead of any other sport?
My ultimate favorite player, he passed away, was Sean Taylor. Why he inspired me and why I play the game so hard and with so much passion is because of him. He plays it with passion. He plays it like it's his last down. And every time he stepped on the field, people feared him. People made it known that he's making known to where he's at on the field and wanted to be one of the best people ever to touch the field. And that's what I want to be. So trying to live up to his style of play is very hard, but I'm trying my best.
Thanks for the question. Let's go here to the right.
My name is Matthew Bickoff, and I have a question for Eli. What food do you like to eat before the game?
Matthew, that's a good question, pal. I like to, just kind of depend. I mean, I like to eat, you know, in the morning, I like to get my eggs and get my oatmeal and my fruits, kind of eat healthy, and then... you know, if it's a little later, get some grilled chicken, get some of my veggies. So, you know, eat your vegetables, Matthew, you know.
We'll keep it here on the lower level to our left.
Hey, my name is Mike from Freehold, New Jersey.
Oh, he's got a scripted question.
This question's for Nate. Nate, you played for the Patriots your whole career so far. What's the biggest change for you coming to the Giants and playing for the good guys here in New York?
This is an amazing crowd, by the way, the amount of energy in here. Yeah. What's the good thing? Well, so we matched up once in the Super Bowl, right? And who won that one? So that's all I have to say on that one, right? That was twice, right? Well, I was there for once, but twice, yeah. Man, I am so glad to be here. You can go any team in the NFL. This is the classiest, most well-run organization there is.
We're thankful to have you.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Down here on the lower level to our right.
My name is Harris from North Brunswick, and it's for Alex Ogletree. I'm so excited to have you on the team, watching you from afar, the defensive captain. And we need some leadership after last year, all the turmoil going on in the locker room. And I was wondering, what are you going to bring to the team? you know, in terms of leadership. And before you started, one thing, my grandma couldn't make it here tonight. She's 90 years old, been a lifelong season ticket holder, and if you guys can give a shout out to her, Shirley, I really appreciate it.
Shouts out to Shirley.
Shirley.
Out to Shirley. back to your question. You know what, like Nate said earlier, what happened last year is last year. You know, this year you can only worry about what's going to happen now. And you know, for me coming here, you know, I definitely want to bring, you know, my ability as far as leadership goes. You know, I wouldn't say I'm much of a hollerer, I guess you could say that, whatever, but I do expect guys to be where they need to be, and they expect me to do the same. So, you know, I try to lead by example, you know, mostly. And, you know, like I said, when something needs to be said, you know, I definitely have a problem saying it. But, you know, we're definitely looking forward to this season for sure.
Excited to have you, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. Let's go up to the mezzanine to our left.
Hey, my name's Ben. See you, Boulder. Nate, shout out. Love to meet you after. Questions for Eli. Eli, with Odell coming back, Saquon coming in, the additions to the offensive line. Can you help me understand how we're not considered one of the top offenses in the NFL?
Well, you know, I think that's interesting about football. On paper, it looks good, but it's all a matter of on the field. Can you make plays? Can you, make plays in key situations? On two-minute drives, on four-minute drives to end the game, can you run it out? Do you have that toughness? Can you play smart football? So I think we'll be able to make those big plays. We have playmakers with Odell and Sterling Evan, Saquon. You have guys where you can, you know, get them the ball. They can do exciting things. But can you also just, you know, get the 5-yard gains? Hey, you know, make smart decisions in critical moments. So that's what it's all about. You know, and it's not just the big plays. It's just about, you know, being able to run the ball and get, you know, get 4 yards, staying good down and distance to give your guys those opportunities to get some man coverage. And so then you can, you know, you can hit that slant that, you know, that goes through a big play, and you get the defense to blitz some, and so you get some guys running in space. So it's good to have talented guys and be good on paper, but you got to put it onto the field and show up on game day. But I think we have those guys who can show up on game day and make those plays.
Thank you.
Mezzanine to our right.
Hey, this question's for Landon. So as you sit here tonight amongst three former captains for their respective teams, is that something that you see in your future for the New York Giants?
Of course. even though if I don't have the C on my chest this coming year, any time I'm here, I still keep myself as a captain. I put myself as heart, like Alex said, man. We need an example.
It's been felt. Thank you.
Got it.
Mezzanine to the left. Lower level left. All right. Go ahead.
I have a question for Alec and Nate. I said, how is playing for different coaches going to come into play with your playing this season for the Giants?
You can always have so much to learn, and I feel like I'm just learning so much from these new coaches. I've always done it a certain way, and when you see things from a different side, you have a more well-rounded game, more better understanding of what we're doing out there.
Thank you.
Pretty much the same way he said. I've had a chance to play for – this will be my third head coach now. So, you know, I kind of got a little experience in it. But like he said, man, you take different things from each coach, each experience that you go through, and you just try to gel it all together and you know, make your game better. So
let's go with the mezzanine to the right.
Hey, my question is for Nate Soldier. Now, I know it's really early into the off season still, but I've already heard reports of you staying later after practice to train with Eric Flowers, and you know, just before, Will Hernandez already gave you a shout out. So I was just wondering how important it is to you, that attribute of leadership is from the left tackle position, and how do you think it's going to affect the development of this offensive line going forward?
Well, like I said before, it doesn't just happen. You gotta work at it, and so I don't look for opportunities to be a leader. I was just looking for an opportunity to help improve the team in whatever I can do, whatever facet that is. If it's staying after for a couple of, we stay there for 5 minutes and go through a couple bag drills or whatever it is, I'm really here to serve the guys and help whoever I can.
Spoken like a true leader. Thank you.
Lower level on the left here.
My name is Matthew, and my question is for Eli Manning. 10 years ago in the Super Bowl in 2007, what was your reaction when David Tyree caught that pass?
You know, we worked on that play all week, and and I was just surprised. Yeah, anyone. I was just surprised it worked exactly how we drew it up. We called a timeout, so I went up to David and I asked him, you know, hey, did you catch it? And of course, you know, receivers, they always say they caught it. You know, I asked Plaxico one time if he caught it, and they reviewed it. It bounced like 4 times. He still told me he caught it. I'm like, you don't have to lie to me, you know. But anyway, I said to David, I said, David, did you catch it? He said, I caught it. I said, David, you're a Christian, man. You're a Christian. Don't lie to me. He said, I promise, I caught it. And sure enough, it did. We still had a lot of football to play after that play. So it was an incredible catch. You saw it kind of slow mo hitting the on the helmet and everything. But still had to hit a couple plays to get some first downs and then eventually hit Plaxico. But we saw the play the other day. Tyree still one of the great plays.
Lower level here on our right.
I'm Thomas from Livingston, New Jersey.
I like that jersey.
Like that, hey, huh? Old Miss.
Hey. My question's for Nate. My question's for Nate. So I know you guys have had a lot of success in New England. You have been blocking for one of the best quarterbacks of all time in Tom Brady. How does that differ from blocking for the most elite quarterback in the NFL right now?
There you go. There you go.
He just makes a lot more plays behind me than Tom did, that's all. Thanks for your question. I'm just so excited to be here, like I said. You guys are awesome.
Eli, I love you.
Likewise.
Nice. Are we bottom left or right? Bottom right? Bottom right.
This is for Landon. Was it cool getting your first interception?
My very first one?
Yes.
Yes, it was. Definitely. Got the opportunity to get the ball back to offense so that he can make plays and just have the ball in my hands. Try to stay on my feet my very first time, but it was very awkward. But I got it. I was very happy, yes.
Thanks for the question. You know, if you got some questions, line up. I want to ask Landon. Oh, we'll go here. We'll go here to the – we have her here in the – there we go.
Yeah.
Lower left.
Hi, I'm Eli. I was born in 2008. Right after the Super Bowl. This one's for Eli. Who's your first touchdown pass to?
First touchdown pass is to Jeremy Shockey, my rookie year. Versus Atlanta, kind of my first start. So still a great memory for me, and kind of getting that first one under the belt, and try to keep throwing some more. So we got some good tight ends, and hopefully we'll get Evan Engram going, get him a bunch of touchdowns this year.
Thank you, Eli. So I want to ask Alec and Nate this, but Landon, you could probably relate to it too a little bit. You've been around long enough. What's it like, and for you guys, how much are you looking forward to some of the former players that tend to be around a lot? I don't know how it's like in New England or with the Rams, but, you know, for you having Antrell around, who won a Super Bowl, and, you know, we got Carl Banks doing TV shows with us, Harry Carson doing TV shows, Jesse works for the franchise, Lawrence Taylor comes around, Strahan always pops in. Tuck pops in. OC pops in. Deal is in the building. O'Hara's in the building. Soybert's always around. Just kind of picking their brains. Start with you, Landon, what it's like having former guys that have won around impromptu. Not like the coach invites them in. They just show up in the cafeteria, pull up a chair, and have lunch with you.
Oh, man, it's awesome. Literally, like you said, they just show up. You never know they're coming. And they're fans of us, honestly. They just want us to be great, just like they were. And they just to get the knowledge from those guys and to pick their brains is awesome. That's really about it. I mean, just knowing Antrell talking to Straham and how, because I do it at the softball game, they come over and we just talk ball and how y'all want, you know, and just it intrigues me to try to bring that same knowledge and same integrity to the guys that's here now.
Alec, you're looking forward to, you know, like on a Friday, Straham could just pop in and all of a sudden you'll hear this big laugh, and he's strolling through the cafeteria and he holds court.
Exactly. No, like you said, man, that's exciting. You can see the tradition, you see the history, you see, you know, everything that it means to be a Giant. And, you know, like you said, when you have those guys in the building, it helps the young guys up just to see if you do it the right way, you could be at this level. And, you know, I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, seeing those guys in the building and, you know, like you said, picking their brain.
Nate, I know you don't want to see Straham, Osie, or talk.
I still see him in my nightmares.
But seeing, you know, having these guys around just, you know, in the building in the morning for breakfast or whatever, just to be able to talk.
That's a big reason why we came here. It was something that's kind of been validated when we were getting our haircut the other day together.
Yeah.
Right? And I just think when you have an organization.
Don't get me started. You're the guest. I don't want to.
So when you have a great organization, it doesn't necessarily manifest itself 1 or 2 years down the road, but 5, 10, 15 years down the road, and people still care. They're still involved. They're still a part of that group. And they say, once a Giant, always a Giant. That kind of validates that to me, and I think that's really special.
So we asked Coach Shermer earlier about the identity of the 2018 Giants. What's the identity in your guys' eyes?
Gritty, tough, bad mother.
I think the same thing. Kind of you said. Took the words right out of my mouth. Yeah. But I think, you know, this gritty and tough. I think, you know, our championship teams. Our championship teams were like that. The defense was definitely like that. They swarmed. They got after the quarterbacks. They got pressure. And offensively, we could run the ball, and we could throw the ball down the field and make big plays. And I think that's kind of what you set up. When you're running it, that sets up to play action. And so, you know, I think we've done that with the offensive line. Kind of got, you know, tougher there, meaner. Hernandez already gotten like 5 fights already. I love it. You know, so, Gettleman had the best word for him. He's cranky. I like my offensive lineman cranky, you know. So the crankier, the better. He's definitely fits that mold. But, you know, and then get it, you know, Nate's just a professional. He comes in. He knows his stuff. You see him in the training room kind of just doing his prehab, getting ready, doing his workouts, you know, well prepared. So that mentality is going to help that, you know, a young offensive line group come in there and be ready. So I think and then, you know, that other word Alex used, I think that we got it.
How lunch, cafeteria, how refreshing is it to see what he did, push the tables together? Because we haven't seen that since, you know, Kareem and David and all those guys were there.
Yeah, I think it was great. You know, he kind of got some tables, pushed it together. Now the offensive line could kind of sit and have, eight of them all together kind of having lunch. And it's just, you know, I think that for the offensive line group, from my experience, it's not always having like, and no offense to anybody, not always having like the five best offensive linemen. It's them working together. It's, you know, five guys that work together the best. And can they communicate? Can they pass things off? Do they help each other out? Do they know, you know, their assignments, what they're doing? And it's, you know, that for that group, and that's where it's a bond. You got to have that tight bond. And for those guys to kind of start that, and Nate to kind of understand that and start pulling that together was great to see.
Nate, who'd you learn that from?
Well, you know what it says in the Bible? It says to break bread together. So as with your brothers, you break bread. And that's where it all forms, that bond, you know what I mean? And I think there is a special bond with offensive linemen because no one really knows or can truly fully appreciate what we do, because many times it's the wide receiver or the quarterback or someone that gets credit for us picking up some sort of stunt or blitz that we cheer for each other for. And a lot of times someone, you know, the guy next to me, the guard or the tight end, is saving my tail all the time. You know what I mean? So we work together, like you said, it's in those off football moments where you're eating together, you're spending time together, you get to know each other, you trust each other, you build that kind of camaraderie.
Final question comes from the mezzanine to our right.
This is Ed from Fairlawn. I have a question for Eli, but before I do that, Nate, I want to welcome you to the New York Giants and let you know that if you put that football against that helmet, it will stick.
Thank you.
Eli, my question is, what's the biggest adjustment that you have to make going from the offense from the last couple of seasons to the offense that you're going to be running under Pat Shurmur?
Well, I mean, obviously it's just the terminology. But it's coming, again, as I said earlier, it's coming around so quickly. It all makes sense. You know, the reason they call it this formation or this play, and, you know, you've played enough football now. A lot of it's, you know, very similar plays. It's just called different words, but it's really been a smooth adjustment, you know. And I think now it's just kind of just understanding Coach Shurmur and his mindset of how he wants to call plays, you know, when to go to certain protections, certain looks that he wants to get to. So it's really just more picking his mind, and that just comes from practice, you know. And just saying, hey, you know, getting ideas from, you know, watching the film after, saying, hey, you could have gone to this check, or you could have, you know, gone this, you know, to get a firmer protection. So just kind of picking his mind and understanding how he sees things, how he wants things done. And it's just a learning curve going through that. But it's going well. It's a great mind to pick and kind of learn from him and how he sees it. But it makes sense to me, and I enjoy it. I think we are throwing the ball down the field a little bit more with this offense, which you know, every quarterback likes to throw the ball down the field. So I'm excited about that.
Thank you very much for the question. Hey, you know, this is the fourth Giants Town Hall, and a round of applause for the staff here at the Beacon Theater. Wonderful job, as always. And we want to say thank you for sponsoring the event this evening. New York Presbyterian, the number one hospital in New York, and the Giants Legacy Club. Thank you very much, New York Presbyterian. And how about a big round of applause for Eli Manning, Landon Collins, Alec Ogletree, and Nate Soldier. That wraps up the program. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your loyalty. And we look forward to a great season. Have a good night, everybody. See you tomorrow.